Matthew chapter 17. The text for tonight is the last verse of that chapter. Notwithstanding, this is the Lord speaking to Peter. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. So it wasn't a matter of Peter having to fish and fish and fish again until he found a fish with money, and that was the first fish that he would catch. Take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find. So there's no doubt about it. Thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Fishing for money. Of all the Master's miracles recorded in the Gospels, it is interesting to note that Peter was involved in a number of them. In fact, you consider all the miracles, round about 32, 33, Peter is mentioned in connection with eight of them. So of all the Lord's disciples, Peter had more first-hand knowledge and first-hand experience of the miracle-working power of Christ. And here we find him again, Peter, associated with the miracle of the money that was found in the mouth of a fish. The miracle involved the supply of the tribute money, or as it's called, the drachma. This tribute money was for the upkeep of the temple and to cover the cost of all the ceremonies and sacrifices and offerings that went on there in the temple. It was first introduced by Moses in relation to the tabernacle. You can read that in Exodus 30 and verse 13. And then it was carried on with regard to the temple. For in 2 Chronicles, chapter 24. There we read, chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles, and verse 6. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? Go down to verse 9. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, servant of God, led upon Israel in the wilderness. And so what Moses said with regard to a collection for the upkeep of the tabernacle, and again all the offerings and sacrifices and ceremonies that were carried on there, so that was carried over into the temple. And the tribute money, that's what was used to help supply the need of the temple and all that went on in the temple. We find over in 1 Corinthians, there in the chapter 16, where we have just read in 2 Chronicles 24 about a collection for the temple, and for the previous to that, the tabernacle. Here we have the Apostle Paul speaking about the collection. But we read in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection. For the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. We talk about taking up the collection. When? On the first day of the week. What's it for? Cover the cost, the maintenance of the house of the Lord, as it was to cover the cost of the maintenance of the temple and all that was carried on in the temple. This tribute money was only paid by Jews for the support of the temple. It was, of course, different from the civil tax. Nobody likes paying taxes. But this was different from the civil tax that was upon the people. This was only paid by the Jews, and it was for the temple. So when the Savior and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, one of those who had the responsibility of collecting the tribute money came to Peter. He had obviously met Peter on his own. Came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? It was that meeting with Peter by a collection agent, if you like, which led to this miracle of money being found in the mouth of a fish. The money that would cover the cost of the tribute and would be paid to cover the Lord himself and Peter. Peter was to go and catch a fish. And when he would catch the first fish, he would open his mouth. There, lo and behold, in the mouth of the fish would be the tribute money. And the Lord then said, take and give unto them for me and thee. Fishing for money. I want, first of all, this evening, regarding this particular miracle wrought by the Lord, I want us to notice Peter was challenged about Christ. He was challenged. This collector of the tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? We notice, first of all, the approach. The obvious question here is, why did the collector of the tribute money not go directly to the Lord and ask him? Why did he go behind the Lord's back, as it were, and ask Peter? Of course, many of the Lord's critics didn't have the courage on many occasions to challenge the Lord about things that he did or things that he said. No, you know, oh, they murmured amongst themselves. Or on the other hand, they would challenge the disciples, but they wouldn't go directly to the Lord. An example of this is over in Matthew chapter 9. And there in Matthew 9 and verse 10, and it came to pass Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, didn't say unto the Lord. They said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? No, they didn't challenge the Lord. They instead went and challenged the disciples about the Lord's conduct and what the Lord was doing. But we know that while this here appeared to be in Mark Matthew 17, it appeared to be an innocent question. Doth not your master pay tribute? Seemed an innocent question, didn't it? Once again, we know with the Lord's enemies and the Lord's critics, there was very seldom anything that they asked him that was really innocent. We all know that over and over again, they would listen to the Lord and they would come to him with their questions. And what was it for? Only to try and trip him up. Just to try and catch him out. Matthew 19 and verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? It seemed an innocent question, didn't it? But no. They asked him that question, tempting him. Matthew chapter 22. There in the verse 35. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Seemed an innocent question. But there was an evil purpose behind the question. So there was here in this question that they came to Peter with. Doth not your master pay tribute money? So we have the approach how they came to Peter and not to the Lord. As well as the approach we have the asking. You will notice how this question was put to Peter. The questioner didn't say, does your master pay tribute? He didn't say that. Does your master pay tribute? No, he said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, to put the question in the negative, doth not your master pay tribute? You see, religious leaders and teachers such as rabbis were exempted from paying the temple tribute money. So obviously the person who asked this question and put it to Peter, obviously he did not recognize or acknowledge the Lord Jesus in the same level as the local rabbis. Doth not your master pay tribute? Because as was said, rabbis were exempted from paying the tribute money. That was the law amongst the Jews. So by putting the question to Peter in this way, it is obvious that the collectors didn't believe that Christ or accept Christ as a rabbi. Well, Nicodemus recognized Christ as a rabbi. For Nicodemus said to the Lord, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher, come from God. John 3 verse 2. Indeed, the name rabbi means teacher. And as Nicodemus said, Christ was the teacher come from God. And many times, when you read through the Gospels, do you read about those who marveled at the teaching of Christ? And they said it wasn't like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes. They marveled at the teaching of the Lord. But wait. Rabbi not only means teacher. Rabbi also means great man. Great man. And isn't that what the angel Gabriel said about the Lord when he came to Mary? And told her about the child Jesus. What did the angel Gabriel say? Luke 1 verse 32. He shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. A great man. Christ was a great man. Christ was a great teacher. Then I find out something else. I find out that the name Rabbi in the Gospels is only used in relation to the Lord Jesus. It is only used in relation to Christ. What else did I discover? The name Rabbi in relation to the Lord Jesus is found 7 times in the Gospels. Isn't that interesting? 7 times in the Gospels we have the name Rabbi in relation to Christ. 7 is the number of perfection. 7 is the number of completion. So what do you have now? Here you have Christ. He's a teacher. He's a great man. Put them together. He's the perfect rabbi. He's the complete rabbi. There's none like him. There is none like Christ. So if anyone was exempted from paying tribute money, then it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ the teacher, Christ the great man, Christ the perfect rabbi. He's the great rabbi. He's the perfect rabbi. He's the complete rabbi. So Christ is. As well as the approach and the asking, we have the answer. Look there at Peter's answer. Whenever Peter was challenged, doth not your master pay tribute? Peter answered and gave a very short answer. An answer of just one word. Verse 25, he saith, yes. So Peter's answer was quick. Peter's answer was short. But Peter's answer was wrong. Peter's answer was wrong. For the reasons I have already explained. Rabbis did not pay tribute money. They were exempted. We've already pointed out what Christ was in the days of his earthly ministry. He was a rabbi, all right, a teacher, great man. He was perfect. So whenever Peter said, yes, my master does pay tribute money, he was wrong. But as so often happened with Peter, he would speak without thinking. He would say things without giving it any thought. So whenever Peter said, or answered the question, "Doth not your master pay tribute money?" And Peter said, "Yes, he doth." With that one word answer, Peter was really saying, "My master is not a rabbi." Because rabbis were exempted from paying the tribute money. And yet here's Peter said, "Yes, he does pay tribute money." And the answer indicated that the Lord was not recognized as a rabbi. Just as the collector came and asked the question, he didn't recognize Christ as a rabbi because he said, "Doth not your master pay tribute money?" And here in a way, although Peter did not realize it, Peter was agreeing with the collector. What Peter should have said when he was asked, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" Peter should have said, "No, he doesn't." Because he's more than a rabbi. Rabbis are exempted from paying tribute money. But once again with Peter, you think of Peter and the mistakes that he made, you know, you can really understand. You can understand sometimes, even though Peter made mistakes, you can understand him. Because Peter was so zealous for the Lord. This collector came and really the question they asked Peter was really a criticism of Christ. And rather than saying, "No, he doesn't pay tribute money," Peter said, "Yes, he does." And really, in a sense, that was Peter protecting the Lord. As we pointed out in past times, when we considered Peter, we're reminded of the words of Paul, having a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And here's Peter's zeal again, but not according to knowledge. Peter answered yes, because he didn't want it to appear that the Lord was dishonoring the work and the worship in the temple. That's why he said yes, even though it was the wrong answer. Because the Lord Jesus wasn't supposed to pay tribute money, had it? Had Peter only given himself time to think before he answered. Before I took up the ministry in the church in Newton Abbey over in Northern Ireland, as one of the elders there passed away before I became a minister, but one of the elders, I was told about him. And I was told, you know, whenever there was a session meeting or a committee meeting, this particular elder wouldn't say very much. And the way he was described was, he thinks twice and speaks once. And any given subject that was being discussed, this elder would think twice about it and speak once. In other words, he would give it some thought before he said anything. Well, we see here that Peter did not give any thought to the question that would have been put to him. No thought at all, because he answered immediately. And he answered with one word. Unfortunately, Peter didn't think before he spoke. Boy, how often have we done that? We're all so like Peter at times. Don't we say things? And after we've said them, we've said to ourselves, oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. It's like water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. So that would surely lead us to pray with the psalmist. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch. Don't let me say things that I shouldn't say. Psalm 141, verse 3. So we'll consider Peter challenged about Christ. Next we see Peter counseled by Christ. From the context of these verses, it is obvious that the Savior wasn't present when Peter was challenged about the tribute money. Because the collector came to Peter. So the Lord wasn't present. And it would appear that the Lord was already in the house there in Capernaum, as we will see in a moment. And so Peter was the one who was challenged, and he was challenged by himself. Because when Peter came into the house where the Lord was, the Lord spoke to him. Look at verse 25. And he saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, when Peter was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Now we point out something. In the verse 25, Peter said yes to the collector. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. That word prevented means to anticipate. In other words, the Lord anticipated what Peter was going to say to him. He anticipated what Peter was going to ask him. No doubt ask him about tribute money. But there is something here that we ought to take note of. The collector had challenged Peter outside the house. And then when Peter came into the house, the Lord spoke to Peter about the payment of tribute money. In other words, the Lord was not present when Peter was challenged, but the Lord knew all about the conversation. That's a sobering thought. And that is a solemn truth. There is an eye that sees all our daily conduct. There is an ear that hears all our daily conversation. I love reading the writings and the commentaries of J.C. Ryle, mighty man of God, as we said, the first Protestant bishop of Liverpool in England. J.C. Ryle, commenting on this verse here, when the Lord then spoke to Peter, J.C. Ryle said, we should strive to live as in the Lord's sight. Unlike Abraham, to walk before him. Let it be our daily aim to say nothing we would not like Christ to hear, and to do nothing we would not like Christ to see. Let us consider at all times, how would I behave if Christ was standing by my side? That's a tremendous statement. How would I behave in day-to-day life? How would I behave? What would I say if Christ was standing by my side? We certainly guard our behavior, and we would certainly guard our words if Christ was standing by our side. And really, the Lord might as well have been standing beside Peter, because the Lord knew all that went on in that conversation, even though he wasn't physically present. But you see, he knows all things. You remember when the Pharisees came and they stood around the Lord and they watched the Lord with their critical eye, and they murmured one to another, and the Lord turned to them. They hadn't spoken aloud, but the Lord knew what they were thinking. And he challenged them about what they were thinking and what they were saying within themselves. What would we say? How would we behave if Christ was standing by our side? So here the Lord counsels Peter. How does he begin? We see, first of all, his teacher. Remember, the tribute money was for the upkeep of the temple. The word we have in verse 25, as we've said, prevent it means anticipate. So the Lord anticipated what Peter was going to say, speak to him about when he came into the house. But the Lord already knew. Oh no, he wasn't there when the conversation took place, but he might as well be, because he's God. He knows all things. And the first thing which Peter did was to point out to Peter, that the Lord himself did not have to pay tribute money. He taught Peter by way of an illustration. How often has the Lord done that? He's wanted to teach a great truth, and he's done so by way of an illustration or a parable. And here he teaches Peter. Look there at what he says in verse 25. Peter had said, yes, yes, he does pay tribute money. When he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. In other words, strangers there meant the king's subjects. The Lord says, well, do the children of the king pay taxes to their father? Of course, the answer is no. So who pays the taxes? The king's subjects. That's what the Lord's teaching Peter. That's what he's saying. What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of whom do the kings of the earth take their taxes? Of their own children? Of course not. Or of strangers, or of their subjects. And Peter said, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Then the children do not pay taxes. Then the children of the king do not pay tribute money. Remember, and Peter was present. Remember the beginning of the Savior's ministry when he entered into the temple and he saw the money changers there and the sellers of goods in the temple, and he put them all out. He put them all out. And what did he say? He says, this is my Father's house, the temple. This is my Father's house. The temple is the house of my Father. And who is Christ? Well, Peter had acknowledged that on other occasions, Christ is the Son of God. So the temple is the house of God, and Christ is the Son of God. Now you see how the illustration comes into focus. Who does the king take tribute money from? His sons? His daughters? No. The tribute money comes from his subjects. And all Peter had to do was to think. Was just to think what the Lord had previously said about the temple and what he had previously said about himself. Christ is the Son of God. And when the Lord put the question to Peter, he got it right. For when the Lord said, what thinkest thou, Simon, to whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their children, of their own children, or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Of the king's subjects. He doesn't tax his own children. And Christ is the Son of God. And the temple was his Father's house. And he, as it were, was the child of the temple. The child of the king. So therefore he didn't have to pay taxes. He didn't have to pay the tribute. Christ likened himself unto the children who would be free from paying the custom of the tribute money. Isn't that what we need more of? That we need to be taught more. That's what the Lord did here to Peter. The Lord could have easily just rebuked Peter, but no, he didn't do that. He waited till Peter came into the house. And then the Lord taught Peter. And here is the Savior. Here's the great rabbi. Here's the great man teaching. And he's teaching Peter. Isn't that what we need? Isn't that what every Christian needs? Needs to be taught. We need teaching. How do we know how to live for God if we're not taught? When we open our Bibles, well, don't we want the Lord to teach us? When we go to the Lord's house on the Lord's day and the Word is open, is not our prayer in our hearts that, Lord, preacher, Teach me something today. I won't need to be taught. What's the point in going to the Lord's house if we go home as empty as when we came? We need to be taught. They want the Word open to us. The Spirit of God to reveal things to us we hadn't seen before. We need to be taught. As the Lord taught Peter. And even when we read the biographies of great godly men and women, we want the Lord to teach us from their lives. We want to be taught. The Apostle Paul had to upbraid those Hebrew believers because they hadn't given themselves to being taught. We read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, speaking to believers, he's saying to those believers, by now, you should be teachers of the word. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Remember what Peter said? As newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the Word. When a person is saved, well, they begin, just like a child, a natural child, they begin with the milk of the Word. They look into the simple things of Scripture. But as they grow older and become more mature in the things of God, they can progress to the strong meat of the Word. But here we have those Hebrew believers. And Paul said to them, he said, by now you should be teachers. And what are you? He says, you're still in the ABCs of the gospel. You haven't progressed from the milk. You're still on the milk. You haven't got down to the strong meat of the word. Because they hadn't given themselves to the teaching that they had heard. Oh, there are other things to do, other things to think about. What was the result? They were still on the milk of the word. Oh, let us make progress with God. And that will only be done through the teaching of the word. They need to be taught. You have the teaching and then you have the thinking. Now look at the words of Christ to Peter when he came into the house. Now look at the very first thing the Lord said to Peter. Said to Peter, what thinkest thou, Simon? Isn't that interesting? Was not the Lord pointing out to Peter that when he answered the question, doth not your master pay tribute money? And Peter answered without thinking. And isn't it interesting that the Lord, the first thing he said to Peter was, what thinkest thou, Simon? Simon, it's time to think. It's time to think about what you're saying. Peter knew that Christ was the Son of God. He confessed that on a number of occasions. And as the house of God, as the temple was the house of God, then the Son doesn't need to pay the tribute money. The temple was the Father's house, and Christ was the Son of the Father. Just as the Lord had illustrated. when he spoke to Peter. Did the children pay the king the taxes? Of course, the answer is no. As well as the thinking, or the teaching and the thinking, we have the thoughtfulness. That is the thoughtfulness of the Savior when he said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. The Lord might justly have claimed exemption from the payment of tribute money. He told Peter, he taught Peter why he didn't pay tribute money. But then you have the thoughtfulness of Christ. For in verse 27, the Lord says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. If they would perhaps be offended by me not paying tribute money, let's pay it anyway. We'll pay it anyway. No, I have a just reason for not paying. I'm the son of the Father. And the temple is my Father's house. But the Lord says, we'll not offend them. Let's pay it anyway. Oh, the life of Christ is a wonderful study. We see ourselves behaving so differently at times and situations, so differently from the Lord. Somebody said to us, you need to pay that tribute money. And we might say, well, I have my rights. I have my rights. I'm not doing it and I'm not paying it. I have my rights, and we dig in our heels. God could have said that, but he didn't. Lest we should offend them. We'll pay it anyway. I don't have to. But rather than offend them, we'll pay it anyway. That's the Savior. That's my Savior. That's the Savior we serve. That's the Savior we love. And it was this paying of the tribute money which led to the working of this miracle. I go quickly. It's considered Peter challenged about Christ and Peter counseled by Christ. Finally, Peter commanded by Christ. It would appear that the Savior did not have the money to pay the tribute, reminding us of the poverty of the Lord Jesus. He who was rich, what? Became poor. That we through his poverty might be made rich. Remember what he said to those would-be disciples? The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't have a home. So the Lord must find the tribute money from elsewhere. And he did so by working a miracle. Here we have, first of all, the order. The Lord gave an order to Peter, go to the sea and cast and hook. And take up the fish that first cometh out. That was the order. Notice the three of them. Who did he tell to go and catch a fish? Peter. What was Peter's trade? He was a fisherman. If anybody knew anything about fishing, it was Peter. Matthew chapter 4. The Lord walking along the Sea of Galilee, and there was Peter. He just spent the day fishing. Now he speaks of Peter to go and do some fishing for him. And I thought to myself how often the Lord has done that. He's taken somebody with a trade and he's called them to the mission field. Let's say a nurse, a trained nurse, And they've been called to the mission field, and they've gone to the mission field, and there they've been able to exercise their trade, and they've cared for patients and children and the sick people on the mission field. He's called men with trades such as builders and plumbers and electricians, and he's called them to the mission field. What to do? To build houses, places on the mission field. That's what he's done. And here he called Peter and used his trade to catch a fish. As well as the trade, you have the toil. Yes, the Lord was going to work a miracle, but that didn't mean Peter was to sit down and do nothing. The Lord will never reward laziness. But we have been told, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Do it. Do it with thy might. The miracle would be the money being in the mouth of the fish, but the fish must be caught. Fish wasn't going to jump out of the water and into the hands of Peter. Peter had to do something. Peter had to work at it. Peter was to toil until the fish was caught. And when we need the Lord to intervene in our lives and do something that needs to be done, we need to do what we can. And the Lord will do what we can do. That's the miracle. You have the order and you have the obedience. The obedience and the fact that whenever the Lord told Peter to do it, you'll notice in that verse 27, there's not a word of complaint from Peter. There's not a question. There's not a query. Why? Why have it to do this? Why have it to go there? Why have it to go and catch a fish? No, the Lord spoke, and it was done. That's how we ought to respond to the Word of God. And the Lord speaks to us, we ought to do it. We sang tonight, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We have then finally the outcome. The order and the obedience and the outcome. And Peter obeyed the order. What did the Lord say? And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Let take and give unto them for me and thee. Thou shalt find. That was the outcome. And there you have the power of Christ. You think of that. You look at that verse 27. And think about the miracle that was wrought there. In so many ways. So many ways. You think about it. You think about the fish first of all. Of all the fish in the sea, the first fish Peter caught that had the money on. The fish and the fine. Who ever heard of money being in the mouth of a fish? How did it get there? Well, that's the miracle, you see. Why did the fish not spit it out? Why did the fish not swallow it? It was in the first fish that Peter drew up with his line. It was in the mouth of the fish. It wasn't lost in the sea. It was there and it was kept there. You see, that's the miracle. That's the miracle. And with this I'll close. Here we have the literal fulfillment of the words of Psalm 8. Psalm 8 verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the pass of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. That's Christ. Boy, don't we have a wonderful Savior. What a blessing it is to study Christ and his life and his ministry. What an amazing miracle this was. And then you have the payment. Told Peter, go and take the money. Pay for me and for you. Lest anybody be offended, we'll pay it anyway. That's the tender heart that Christ has. Fishing. That was what the money was for. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our dear Lord, we bless thee. We have such a wonderful Savior. Whose ways are far above our ways. Whose thoughts are far above our thoughts. O Lord, in the light of what we learn about the Lord Jesus in Scripture, we realize in many ways how unlike we are to him. O Lord, make us more like the Savior. Let me be more Christ-like in all that we do. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. Let me meditate upon it and think about it. Think about the loveliness of Christ and his attitude and his tenderness. Lord, bless the word. Be with us now, O Lord, as we part the one from the other. Grant traveling mercy. To think, Lord, of those again that travel further. Give each one safety on the road. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.